Holly Beth, thank you so much. There's a message in that song. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and you will see what the Lord has done. It's a rehearsal of God's goodness to us. You know, sometimes I get caught up in counting my bruises, naming those one by one. And then I like to tell everybody about them and how difficult they are. But Scripture says, count your blessings. Make it an activity in your life. Take your Bibles this evening. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Beatitudes and focusing in on one Beatitude found in verse number 9. Within the pages of our Scriptures here in Matthew chapter 5 is a prescription on how you and I can live a very blessed life. How you and I can understand and follow God's directives and live a life of blessing instead of one that's lost and wandering. Matthew chapter 5, let me read verse number 1. We'll make this quick. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain. And when he was said, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for the time that you've given us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would take these very frail lips and you get across the very important message that you have for your children tonight. Send your Holy Spirit to direct our attention, Lord, to provide conviction and encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you bring us to a point of decision, and after that activity, that will follow up our decision. Lord, I pray that you would work, and that you would be blessed during this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, tonight's topic is one that's a little bit different, and as a previous pastor, there are some things that happen kind of behind the scenes from time to time when you're basically producing or, praying about a message. A pastor spoke to me earlier this week and said, do you mind filling in? We're hot and heavy preparing for the wedding. And I thought, this would be great. And the Lord had begun to prepare my heart to speak on something, and that is peacemaking and conflict resolution. And sometimes this happens to pastors. Probably not our pastor, but me for sure. And you prepare for a message, and as close as you get to the time that you need to speak, you think, oh, that's a horrible message. I don't like this one. I want a different one. And so that's gone through, and I prayed and said, Lord, maybe this is the message for your children tonight, and I'm convinced that it is. I want to talk to you tonight about conflict resolution in the home and the joy of peace in relationships. Now, I don't know about you, but the commodity of peace in any relationship is something that is highly valued. Can I get a smile from you tonight if you enjoy peace in relationships? Okay, do you enjoy spousal peace in that particular relationship? Of course you do. Honestly, the best of times is when you and your husband or you and your wife are at complete peace. Pure joy. It's not like that when things are not well. And you know that they need to be corrected. Same thing is in your parental relationship. When there's peace with your children, there's no greater joy. But when there's not, when things are in division, there's a heaviness. There's a difficulty that's upon your heart. This oftentimes surfaces at work. Sometimes it surfaces at church. And I'll be honest with you, I actually love coming into church and being in complete peace. Walking in the auditorium knowing that we are literally in love with one another. We've been called to serve one another and to be invested in each other's lives. I love it. I love the fact that I usually walk in the side door and I don't have to worry about like hiding from anybody. And I'm so glad that we're back there in the handshaking, and sometimes there's some hugging going on Sunday morning. I'm glad that we're back to that. And for some reason we've always sat on this side, and I thought, let's go talk to the people on the right-hand side of the church. Maybe let's build some relationships over there. And back and forth. You're saying, no, don't do it. that when you think about the peace in a relationship, it's something that's highly valued. It's a commodity that you would lift up and desire in all the relationships that you have. And to be honest with you, conflict resolution in any relationship is something that's deeply needed but not talked about. And so we find ourselves, we don't have any seminars, we don't have any classes. I was never taught this in high school, nor in college, but you find biblical directives to lead us, making sure that the relationships that we have are at peace. And the Bible says more than just stop fighting. Stop being silly. The Bible has clear directives. And in fact, I want to bathe that message tonight in a couple things that you and I know already, and that is God's called us to interact with each other on a very deep level. And not only on a very intimate level as well. God's called us, you and I, literally to love on one another. He's called us to take care of one another. He's called us to serve one another. He's called us to literally lay down and sacrifice at times for our relationship. And that should be reciprocal. He's called us to that unconditional type of love. He's called us to forgive. And if there's an offense, God's called us to interact and forgive one another, and He's also called us to bear one another's burdens. Now, these are not a surprise to you. You've heard these verses plenty of times. He's called us to pray for one another. He's called us to stop life and be involved and be invested in each other by way of prayer. He's called us to edify and build each other up in the most holy faith, to act with humility, to be gentle and full of peace and full of grace in our relationships. This is what He's called us to do. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that we can invest in each other. And we enjoy it as well. It's not a have to, it's a we get to. And believe it or not, it's a blessing that you have attending this particular church. So when we talk about conflict resolution, there's literally nothing on my mind. There's no relationships that I have on my mind. There's no person that I have on my mind. But for sure, the Holy Spirit's directed me to preach on this tonight. So quite possibly, I know this is a bit heavy, and maybe you weren't prepared for this tonight. You're thinking, hey, it's Sunday night. Let me just round through and get home, okay? I'm not going to pray so hard tonight. But quite possibly there's a relationship out there that needs reconciliation. Quite possibly there's somebody you've not talked to, whether it be a brother or a sister or a mom and dad. Could be a child. Could be a grown adult child that there's conflict with. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody here at church. I'm discounting that. But if that's the case, it would be well served for us to pay attention to what Scripture has as far as prescriptions for dealing with personal conflict and conflict resolution. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about Christ and all of the illustrations and all the examples in Scripture is that He never avoided conflict. He was there, always serving, always being on the scene, and never ran or avoided it. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, Scripture says this, "Blessed are those who make peace." Blessed are the individuals that literally initiate and make peace that is needed in our relationships. So it's a good question tonight. Do you and I need peace in our world today? Now, just because I wanted to, I was trying to figure out, and I'm not historically up to date so much on all of the conflicts that are in our world. So I turned to Google and Siri, and I said, how many conflicts are literally in our world today? It may have changed, but as of 5:30 a.m. this morning, there were 39 large conflicts. Now, you and I know this. There's thousands of conflicts out there. But 39, which Google, I guess, would calibrate as large conflicts, whether it's between state and state, or a civil, or country against country, or a drug-related conflict, there's 39 large ones out there, and and literally, I don't think I'm exaggerating, millions of small ones out there for sure. But do you and I'm talking about you and I here tonight at Marquette, do we need any conflict resolution? And I have to tell you, biblically, the answer is absolutely, positively yes. It's affirmative. We need it. And I'll tell you why. In John chapter 4, verse number 20, it lets us know this, that if we have conflict one with another, it blocks my fellowship with Christ. Let's turn there to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20. I'm going to have to get some slides going instead of turning in the Bible so much. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 20. If a man say, I love God, and he is his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth us love his brother also. And when you think about this, this is something that deals with literally the horizontal relationships that you and I have in this world and the vertical relationship that we have with God. We're going to comment on this just a little bit later in the message, but Scripture says this, there's a blockage in my relationship with God if I have a blockage with somebody on the horizontal level. And we'll envelope some other verses into this, but beyond that, if we need conflict resolution, it blocks my fellowship with God. It also blocks my prayers. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. This is talking about a husband's direction and responsibilities in the home to his wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, talking about your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now listen, you're going to think I'm foolish, but I got to tell you something. I've read this verse a lot of times. I don't think I've cognitively ever engaged with the end of the verse where it says your prayers are not hindered. I remember reading them. I remember letting them go through the portals of my mind, but I never really focused in on that. And so if I have an issue with Tamara, if we have a disagreement that's unresolved, my Bible tells me, Bob, be about the business of getting this corrected ASAP, that your prayers be not hindered. And then finally, James chapter 3, verse number 18, it blocks my happiness as well. That fruit of righteousness that Philippians chapter 1, verse number 11 talks about. Now, let me grab your attention up here for a second. How many of you are just like me? When there's an issue with somebody else, you have a tendency to replay that issue not just once, but maybe 10 times. Is anybody like me when I say, when I got an issue with somebody, I have the ability to replay that in my mind maybe 10 times. Have you noticed that it gains momentum and some inertia and begins to embellish itself? And you don't even know the other person's stance on the situation. But there's conflict. And you know two things. Number one, you're right, and they're wrong. And you have to find out a way to let them know that. And you're like, Bob, that's great. That's the end of the message. Two points to conflict resolution. I'm right, and they're wrong. All right, can we pull it out of here now? But that's not biblical. So the Bible gives us multiple reasons. We'll talk about six of them tonight. But literal prescriptions or steps to peacemaking. And that's literally the process of you personally making peace. Now let's get going. Number one, the very first point is this, and if you take notes, these are going to be invaluable. These are thousands of dollars worth of therapy boiled down into 6 points. Number one, you need to be the person that initiates peace. You say, well, man, I don't know if I like that point. How about they do the person that come to me? They did what was wrong, for crying out loud. Let them come to me and apologize. No, biblically, prescription number one is that you initiate peace. Verse number 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers. They're in the business of generating peace in a relationship. So God asks you to make peace. It's more important, you remember back in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 23 and 24. I'm going to cliff note that passage for a second. In those verses, our Savior tells us, if you have an issue with a brother or sister, you leave your offering in the temple, you leave, you go get that issue taken care of, and you come back. Now listen, I'm not trying to be funny here. But if that's the case in your situation tonight, you're not going to be offensive if you slip out. I just know God's working. Or you don't like me. One or the other. But I pray you're doing business with God. But that's real stuff. All the Savior says this. It is so valuable and so important to me that you make sure that your relationships are right. Now, I want you to stop life if you're in the house of God. I want you to stop life. I want you to leave your offering and leave it right there. Don't touch it. I want you to leave. I want you to go get right with that person. And then when you're right, you come back and you can be right with me. Now, I'd say that's pretty important, those directives. Now, I encourage you today, point number one, this first prescription in peacemaking and conflict resolution, and I'm going to give you a little hint, it's more about relationship reconciliation. Because conflict resolution is one thing. That's agreeing and resolving that you're not going to fight anymore. But you know what? God's got more than that for us. God has invested in us some time and energy that you and I would be involved in each other's lives. It's not just enough that God says to Bob, hey, stop fighting with that person. Stop fussing. You know what the Lord tells me? If you have an issue, you get it taken care of because I have a ministry with you two. We're supposed to be engaged and building each other up in the most holy faith that works on a spousal level. It works on a parental level. It works here at church. It works at work. So, step number one, initiate peacemaking. You make the move. And one of some of the things that we do from time to time is we just kind of postpone conflict. Now, I'm not going to raise your hand. I've mentioned this before in home builders class, this topic of conflict resolution. And really nobody likes conflict, right? And the reason why we don't like to deal with conflict is because we have a fear of what's going to go on if we try to confront somebody. So you think there's a probability of there being a lot of rejection. There's a probability of probably maybe some retaliation or some teasing or maybe just a shutdown of the relationship. But God calls us to this activity. He doesn't call us to the results. Those are His. He calls us to the activity. And so I would encourage you to do this. Here's one thing that always outweighs fear in Scripture. You know what it is. And it's love, right? Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 18 through 19, that perfect love casts out fear. And so really, perfect love, biblically speaking, will surgically remove the fear that's involved in what you're worried about. You know, in a relationship that you love, you will go to no bounds. You will not cross any territory to make sure that relationship is solid. Now, I just immediately think about my family relationship. There is literally nothing that I know of that would bar me from ever wanting to just harbor conflict or difficulty in my family. Now, this is just personal, but when my wife and I have a we call them domestic altercations. When we have an issue at home, we deal with it immediately. It's quick. It may be over the phone. It may be in a quiet room. We may be sitting out in the van for 10, 15 minutes before we hop inside, but you got to do it quick. And you know what propels you to act away from fear and to get that conflict resolved? It's love, because perfect love casts out fear. Also, in Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, literally, God has not placed inside of us fear, right? He's not given us the spirit of fear. But He's given us the spirit of power and of love and a very sound mind. So we know this for sure, that when you and I are about the business of peacemaking, you need to initiate this immediately. number two, need to ask for wisdom. And that's found in James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He'll give it to you. Your cup will flow over, for sure. And so it's that time that you take with God where you say, Lord, I'm not sure of the results that are going to happen. I do know I'm going to have a conversation. I do know I'm going to engage. I do know I'm going to and try to connect and make sure that there's a reconciliation, that the issues are done and the conflict is resolved. But Lord, you've given me all that I need, and now I need wisdom to say what I need to say and be appropriate with my words, make sure that they're bathed in love and that you're glorified. Now listen, I got a hack for you today. In my business, I just deal with a lot, and even probably in your business too, I don't want to exaggerate this whatsoever, but there's always a constant amount of abrasion, there's difficulties that you have to work through. I really feel this. I'm not trying to be humorous, but oftentimes the phone rings and it's nobody ever calling up and saying, Bob, you're awesome. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Like, unless it's my wife, that never happens. And I would encourage you to do that too. But what happens usually is, hey, I got a problem. I need this resolved in 4 minutes. I need this done. So there's often times where I'm just overwhelmed, and I'll stop life and I'll say, Lord, listen, this is way above my head, way above my pay grade. I don't have the faculties to deal with everything at the exact same time. Lord, I need wisdom from above. Will you please give me guidance? Will you work with your child so I can glorify you during this next phone call, for the rest of my day, what have you? So Scripture directs us, number one, that you initiate peace immediately. Number two, that you pray for wisdom. And I think that's pretty clear, pretty understandable. Pray for wisdom. And I want to encourage you, if you don't do this, have kind of a stop and pray motive about your life. That if you're ever in trouble, kind of waters over your head, you really don't know how you're going to make the next play, but you just stop and pray. Like, I'm not against this. You can pull your car over into a parking lot and pray. I've prayed at stoplights before. I've needed more time. But, you know, you can pray wherever you're at and ask God for wisdom. One of the best things that I like to promote in home builders class is that you pray with your children. You stop, pray with your kids. Make it a natural act in your relationship. That you stop and that you pray with your spouse. Make it a natural part of your relationship. That you stop and you pray with your neighbor. Make it a natural part of your relationship. I got a quick story. I'm going to finish the rest of the message real quickly. This past Wednesday, I was downtown Aurora meeting with some of the city fathers about some build-outs that are there in the city of Aurora. Aurora is really trying to change their atmosphere downtown, and the first time that really came acclimated with kind of like the revision of downtown was during Esther's and Brandon's wedding. Went downtown and saw the venue, and I was like, where did this come from? This is beautiful. Beautiful facility. And the individual that I was working with, he's a Christian. I didn't know that, but I found out on Thursday. And we went through all the sessions and everything else like that. And they said, are you familiar with Aurora? And I said, nah, I went to a wedding a couple summers ago. And he's like, I know exactly where you went. Like, I did that. I designed all that and got all that to happen. I was like, oh, that's really awesome. I got done with all the meetings, and we're together. And he looks me straight in the eye, and he goes, you're a Christian. I literally did it. I looked down at my T-shirt to see if I was wearing something that said, like, Marquette or whatever. I got a couple, you know, Christian T-shirts, and I was like, so how did, is it my hair? Because I parted on the right-hand side? What is it? Or what's the take? How'd you find out I was a Christian? And he goes, well, I saw online. I researched you online. I was like, well, that's kind of spooky. And he said, I'm a Christian, too, 5 years old. I said, okay. And he goes, there's nothing more that I want than to work with a Christian. I was like, oh, kind of awesome. Here's one individual that is banking on the fact that another individual is going to act like a Christian. Going to tell the truth. Not going to sidetrack. Not going to mislead. Going to build each other up in the most holy faith. So he's a younger kid. And he said, "Do you mind if I have a word of prayer?" I was like, "Let's do this." And probably one of the most authentic, tearful, "I am so afraid" prayers I've ever heard. And the whole venue of the prayer was, "Lord, we're counting on you, and all we have are each other." These Christians, like, taking care of each other and building each other up and supporting one another and praying for one another. And I left the meeting going, "Wow, that's awesome. Here's one Christian that is depending on another Christian to act Christ-like." So I found it appropriate when we finished praying. I told him, I said, "Hey, there's nothing better for you and I than to pray for God's blessing upon our lives, upon our families, and upon any of these adventures that we have together." Number three, figure out what needs to be confessed. Now, that actually is still on your plate. I don't know if you figured this out yet, but we're not depending on anybody else for peacemaking. You say, "Well, Bob, I actually don't like your message tonight. Number one, part number one was for me. Part number two was for me, unfortunately. And part number three, now you're asking me to confess my sins and you to get right. Like, can the rest of the points be for other people so we can balance this out properly?" They're not. But God has given us the directives. He's given us the obligation and the opportunity. And so what's next in our peacemaking is that you and I rid ourselves of our sin and get right with God. I don't know if you've ever done this before, but when there's a conflict and you go to God and you ask Him to work in your heart first, guess what He'll do? He'll work in your heart first. And all of a sudden, the Lord surfaces some things that need to happen. And you know what? You agree with God. You're like, "Yeah, you're right. This needs to change. And Lord, I apologize and I confess and I'm turning my back on this. I'm walking on a different path now. There's a different direction." And now you come out of that session asking God to correct somebody else and God's whole value as He develops you and I into peacemakers is to make sure that we're confessed up and that we're right with God and that we're selfless and that we're not self-centered. You know, when you're at peace with God, I find it fascinating that you can be at peace with other people even when there's difficulties. Let me say that again because I think it's pretty important. When you're right with God, it's so much easier to be at peace with other people. God's got a hold of your heart. He's got a hold of your actions. He's got a hold of your reactions. And He's got a hold of you. You may think to yourself, does this really apply to me? And it actually does. And after confession, you find yourself in a spot where you're saying to yourself, "Man, I just wish I wasn't so selfish. I just wish I wasn't so self-centered." Now, on a humorous level, and I do mean this, and you can't practice this, and I've done this before, after you confess your sins and you yourself get right, you can go back to that individual that you have an issue with, or they have an issue with you, and you can look them dead in the eye and say, "Hey, listen, I'm going to shock you, but I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I've been selfish. My words have not been edifying. I've not been doing right, and I want to ask for your apologies." And to this day, 10 out of 10, batting 1,000, it's always quenched the fire. It's always put out the conflict. There have been times where I've gone to my wife and I just say, "Hey, sweetheart, sorry, man." I don't say it like that. "Sweetheart, I'm sorry. I was way off base." And she usually just gives me a smile to let me know, "Let's pray together." And there have been times when she's come to me and she said, "Hey, Bob, listen, I was off base. That's it. I'm sorry." And we pray together. There have been times I've gone to my kids and I've said, hey, Dad, Daddy's been, sorry, I was off base. Would you accept my apology? And my kids say, yes. Yes, I will. You know, there's something blessed about you doing business with God and getting in front of that issue that needs to be resolved, and literally God's taking care of it. He's quenched the fire. It's out. Number four, take time to listen for areas where you can minister. James chapter 1, verse number 19, you and I ought to be about the business that we are swift to hear and very slow to respond. For me, this is a matter of maturity. It really is. And I've, over the years, I've really taught myself to listen better. It's an art. In the past, and you can smile and kind of giggle with me, I used to listen so I could retaliate. Right? You listen, you take down your notes, all right, they're wrong here, better bring that back up. They're wrong here at this point, got to make sure I review that with them here in just a little bit. Now all that's by the wayside, and you think, you know what, I need to listen. You've heard this before, that hurt people, have you heard this statement before? And you already know behind the scenes that there's an individual that's struggling with something, and oftentimes it'll come out in conversation. You go to deal with conflict, and less than 3 minutes later, there's an issue at home, there's an issue at the marriage, there's an issue at work that's really behind the scenes. And they're in pain, and they're in agony, and you felt a little bit of it. And you take the time to listen, and you take the time to detect prayer requests so that you can stop life, and you can pray. Say, hey, listen, I heard you mentioned that there's issues at home. Can I pray for your son? Can I pray for your daughter? We're going to get back to our topic at hand, but I want to take some time to deal with some very important stuff, and those are your loved ones, and they mean a lot to me as well. So take some time to listen and be very, very, very slow to respond. This may sound like I'm on a little teeny bit of a soapbox right now. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 19, where it talks about an offended brother is very hard to be won. More difficult than conquering a fortified walled city. Have you ever had this? And it's all right for us to giggle about something like this. But have you ever been in the midst of trying to do some conflict resolution, kind of calm the seas, and you're talking, and then somebody talks right on top of you? It's just us here tonight, right? Have you ever been about the business, and you're like, well, let me share with you what's going on, and all of a sudden, you're like 4 to 5 words in, and they're already coming back at you. And you think to yourself, all right, well, time to listen again. And you get down with the listening portion again, and before too long, all of a sudden, they're talking on top of you again. Now, I thought to myself, like, strategically, how can I deal with this? And so I've come up with something. I pray that it's helpful to you, and I say this quite frequently in conflict resolution, and here's what I say. I let them speak first, get everything out of their system. When I find wisdom and the correct words to respond with, I always bathe it with this. I say, hey, thank you so much. I listened to what you said. Here's what I heard. Here's some things that I heard. And I want you, I said, I fully understood what you said, and I gave you the respect and the honor of just being quiet so that I can understand exactly what was on your heart. And I would really enjoy it if you gave me some of that love and respect and let me get off my plate, what's on my plate. And you know what? 10 out of 10, batting 1,000, people don't respond. They will let me finish my sentence. They'll let me get out my side. They'll let me love on them and encourage them without a single response. You know what? For you and I, it's very, very important that you listen. Be slow to respond. You say, Bob, you don't understand. The people I deal with are different than the people you deal with. Mine are like super difficult. Super duper difficult. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. I only have a couple more minutes here. Romans chapter 15. And we'll wrap it up for this evening. verses 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to obey the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. But every one of us please his neighbor for the good to edification. Talking about our duty to our neighbors. Talking about our duty to be selfless and to edify and to deny ourselves for the best for others. Number 5 and number 6, I'm going to deal with this quickly. Number 5, choose your words wisely with love and health. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18, Scripture says this, those that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I would encourage you to use your words to build up and not break down. I would pray that you would choose your words carefully. As James says, you have the ability to break down and to destroy and to cause difficulty and confusion and harm, but to use your words to build up and to edify and to encourage and to instill love. When you're in conflict resolution, it really is about glorifying our Savior. It's not about you winning. It's not about them winning. It's about being Christ-like. And then finally, we'll rest with this and we'll close up, and that is the goal of conflict resolution is pure reconciliation. It's literally that reconnection and that reestablishment of a relationship. I mean, that really is the goal. Now, it's all well and good. You and I can literally disagree on some topics. Even today, as much as I love my wife, there's some things that we just don't, like, wholeheartedly agree on. But you know, it doesn't affect our relationship whatsoever. We love each other passionately. There's no disconnect whatsoever. There's no reconciliation that's needed. But there's reconciliation oftentimes when there's a disagreement and both parties decide to dismiss themselves. I will tell you this. It is possible to disagree and still love and minister to somebody. Amen. Good preaching, Brother Bob. It is possible to disagree and still love and minister to one another. I don't know how God's speaking to you tonight. I don't know, but I want to introduce one last passage of Scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. And in this passage of Scripture, it talks about God's ministry of reconciliation to us, and literally it takes my breath away when I read these verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18 says this, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Catch the thought process here. God literally has reconciled us to himself by his Son. That is the process that happened. And then later on in the verse, it says, "I have given you," literally like he's taken the baton and handed it over to you and I, and says, "Now I have given you the ministry of reconciliation." He's given us the job and the blessing and the opportunity to promote peace and be a peacemaker in each other's lives. And that certainly can happen. God has given us this ministry, and he's asked us to do the same which he has done for us. And I got to tell you, you and I being the recipients of reconciliation is eternal. As they say, it is out of this world. Can I share with you some closing thoughts and we'll be done for this evening? Quite possibly here tonight, and there's a relationship nobody else knows about. It's just you. Maybe it surfaced. Maybe the Holy Spirit surfaced it tonight. Again, it could be a brother or a sister. It could be a mom and dad. Could be a son or a daughter. Could be a work associate. Could be a neighbor. Could be somebody that you're at odds with. And you've decided your path of resolution is just to avoid. That's a well-played card, but it's not right. You've decided, well, I'm just going to avoid. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm going to put it off. I'm going to postpone. Or maybe you've said, I'm just going to appease. I'm going to let them think that they're right. Get this down the road. I'm not going to make it an issue. I'll tell you, you cannot do the work that God's called us to do one with another when there's a grievance, when there's an issue, when there's a conflict. And I would encourage you to deal with the time. Be a peacemaker. Give yourself over to that ministry of reconciliation. If God's spoken to you tonight, that's between you and God. You can pick up the phone. You can travel. You can text. You can do anything. And it would be something like this. You know what? God's working in my heart. I want to let you know I'm sorry for any difficulty or hurt that I've caused. I want to let you know that I love you. And I love you with a love that God loves me with. And I'd like to engage in conversation. I want to talk to you. I want to put our odds at rest. I want to come back together. I want to be one together. I want to have fellowship with you. I want no division with you. I have no idea how God's working in your heart. I have no idea if you hear it and you listen to the message and you say, all right, great points. I'll use them when I need them. Or if you're here tonight and you say, I don't want to do this, but I got to do this. I've got a person that I need reconciliation with. I need to resolve this conflict. Let's ask God to bless our time. Lord, we do thank you so much for the time that you've given us tonight and for the attention to your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you guide and direct as you see fit. And Lord, not only teach us much, but bring us to a point of decision and act upon that decision as well. Lord, we love you. We ask for direction and guidance in our lives on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.